What I'm going to teach you just for this hour, probably won't even take an hour, is a method of speaking that is people pay several thousands of dollars to go to learn. It's called the SCORE method. And I'm right there, it's actually an acronym. I'm going to write it up on the board. And it's spelled SCORE. And it's developed by a friend, Ken Davis. And how many have heard of Ken Davis? He's a comedian. I think I heard Travis talking about comedians in the last session. He told you about, he was the keynote speaker to our summer camp in Colorado. Not last summer, but the summer before. And he came and he just lit the place up. But I'm going to do something fun. I'm going to go through these six parts of a speech. And then if you can guess what the last one is, I'm going to give you this video. Okay? So it's going to be a prize to get. But anyway, Ken Davis formed this method called the SCORE Conference. And I went to it. And my wife and I attended, and he goes through a six-part type to outline a speech. Now, this can be applied to several of your speeches, all your extemp speeches, every impromptu speech, every platform speech. Can use the SCORE method. Now, what it does is it's when you are given the opportunity to speak, which you as competitors have the opportunity to speak at tournaments. You're made to speak at tournaments. Who am I kidding, right? You're forced to do it. But when you grow up, or when you're an adult, or even before you're an adult, a Sunday school class, you might get invited by a homeschool co-op to come and talk about some subject, or things like that. These opportunities just come up, and you should always take them. Always. Unless there's just something that just can't get in the way, but there should never be I'm afraid of speaking, therefore I don't want to do it. That should never come across your choices, okay? You should always take the opportunity to speak. This method you will apply throughout your high school career, and you will take the opportunities to use it. And that's what I'm going to share. So you don't have to go to the $2,000 seminar. You can just get it here at Training Minds Camp, okay? The first thing that we do when we are asked to speak is we have to come up with what we're going to speak about, and that's the subject. The subject. And the subject is the first step in preparing a speech. This is the endless possibilities that you would receive in competition. You are trained to do this in an impromptu. You're given a basket full of quotes, and you choose one of three, and you go with it. Okay? You're trained, your mind is being trained to quickly go with a subject. And this is the beginning of the focusing process. You're actually, I shouldn't have done it this way, but it's actually kind of like this. You have an endless array of possibilities that you're going to start narrowing down. So when you're asked to speak, you can speak about, give me some subjects. What would you be, let me ask you about your life. What would you be asked to speak about, perhaps? Just think of your life. Think of the people you hang out with, and let's say some grown-up you know, or some relative or something. What would they invite you to do? Yeah.
The importance of communication.
Okay, give me another one. What else would you be asked to speak on? Yeah, James.
Revelation topic.
A revelation topic, or a Bible topic? Bible? Okay. Yes. What's your name?
Nathaniel.
What?
Boy Scouting.
Boy Scouting. Okay, you must be a Boy Scout. All right, good. Okay, who else? Yes.
Cars.
And what's your name?
Philip.
Philip, and you say cars?
Yeah.
Cars. Do you know a lot about cars?
No.
Oh, okay, you don't. All right. But you might be asked to speak on cars, and you should never say no. Okay. Okay? So those are just, you know, anything it is. You got to figure out what the subject is and narrow in on that. Now, there's three things about the subject that you need to figure out. One, it must relate to the audience. Now think about your competitions. Think about your platforms that you choose. It must relate to the audience, and you always have to keep that in mind when figuring out your subject. Let's take some of these subjects up here. Let's say cars. You said cars, right? Okay. What kind of cars?
Red cars.
Red cars. Okay. Now, let's say you're preparing a speech for a competition. Okay. How would you modify that subject to relate to your audience?
Red cars are 95% more fuel efficient than any other type.
Okay, you picked a narrowing of the topic, of the subject, right off the bat. Why would you choose fuel efficiency as a topic?
Because of the high prices of fuel.
And who's going to be there you're trying to convince that you're the better speaker of everyone else in the room?
Because I'm relevant.
Who's your audience?
People who drive cars, usually.
At a tournament?
Usually the judges drive cars.
Explain the judges. What kind of people are they?
Usually adults.
Adults who drive cars.
Yes.
And who are probably conscious of fuel efficiency. That's an example of narrowing down that subject to relate to the audience. It's very, very good. Okay? Also, it must be within... Be within your scope of knowledge. Okay? Be within your scope of knowledge. I assume you know about cars. But you said no, you don't.
I know quite a bit about, I know about combustion engine and stuff.
Okay, you do know about cars. So you were kidding when you said no. You do know. If you know about combustion engines, you know more than I do about cars. Okay. But the point is that your topic should be something within your scope of knowledge. And sometimes these will conflict, and you got to figure out how to tie those together, how to figure those out. My daughter did a speech on elk hunting 1 year. You may have seen it on YouTube. It's a great expos speech, illustrated oratory speech, and it's about elk hunting, and it's really cool. It's back when the rules allowed for much more elaborate displays, and she had actually her tripod. This is really cool. She had her tripod and she had her antlers sticking out. She had a black thing and she would whip it out and these big horns were kind of like grabbing the audience and stuff. And she talked about elk hunting. Guess where she did very well and you wouldn't expect it? Southern California. You know, the hones, the fruits and the dates, you know, that like hunting is like foreign to them. But what she did was it was within her scope of knowledge because she's a big hunter. But she did her best to relate it to her audience and she did a lot of techniques to pull her audience in and they found it actually very, very interesting. And that's what she had to do. And then the thing is that the subject may be limited by your experience. And what's your name again?
Philip.
And Philip, you are already doing that when you were explaining cars. Because you were already saying, well, some people know more about cars than I do. I know about combustion engines, but there's some other people. You're already narrowing down your subject. Right there. It was very interesting how that just kind of developed right before our very eyes as an example of how to narrow down your subject. Because you were trying to narrow down the subject to find out what we're really good at, really developing a champion speech. And it might be limited by your experience. Okay. Lydia when she did her speech on elk hunting, did a lot of research and things. There's a lot of things she knew, but she had to do a lot of research to really fill in the gaps. But if she was never a hunter and she never got her big elk and didn't have a good story to tell, it probably wouldn't have been that good of a speech. To tell you the truth, you might see this a lot in platform speeches. What's one thing that separates a champion platform speech from a speech that's pretty much a book report put to speech, okay, that never really get to championship level, is because of this. Your experience level might not engulf it. You're doing a term paper in your speech. I encourage you to challenge yourself and do something that you love to do in your platform speech. You have essentially all fall to figure out what you're going to speak on. So why not? Speak on something you love to do, that you're experienced in. You may think it's boring, but the rest of the world doesn't. They might find it very, very interesting what you're doing. Okay? You're Boy Scouts. You said Boy Scouts, right? Okay. You know, you do your patches and your good community service stuff, and you get your thing, you go to club every week, and it might be humdrum to you at times, but to someone who's not in Boy Scouts, we might find that fascinating. I find it very interesting. I have a lot of sons, and we're not in Boy Scouts. I was a Cub Scout when I was a kid, but I would find that fascinating if you gave a platform speech on Boy Scouts. Okay? It's limited to your experience. But I find that fascinating. Okay, so choose a subject is the first step in the score method. And the C is the central theme. The central theme. The purpose of the central theme is to narrow the talk to a concise amount of information. It's very similar to a subject, but cars is a really good one because cars is very broad. I'm not picking on you, Philip, but it's a good topic to talk about because the subject is cars, but your crank already started talking. If you talked on a subject of cars, you'd be like the pastor rambling on and on and on about cars. Okay? But you actually narrowed it down even more to a central theme, and what was that? You did it. You did it in front of everybody.
A random little thing about the red cars.
No. That was too. Now, red car is big deal. No, it was when you said, "Well, I don't really know that much about cars." What did you say? You narrowed it down to a specific
Combustion engine.
Yes. You narrowed that down to combustion engines, and you even said in front of all of us, you said, "I know something about combustion engines." Now, how many people in here can say that you know something about combustion engines? Two of you, and maybe two and a half, okay? I don't know anything about combustion engines. I know that they exist.
They cause cars to run.
Yeah. Yes, I do know that. But you are already you're narrowing down. You're narrowing your talk to a concise amount of information. Now we can talk about combustion engines in the subject of cars. And actually, I remember hearing on the radio some guy talking about, if we're ever going to solve for the energy crisis and really or go into alternative energies and do it right, you have to solve for the combustion engine. Without getting rid of the combustion engine, you know, wind-powered cars don't make a lot of sense. It's just not going to happen. You got to come to a new technology. And that was a fascinating talk, actually. Okay, now we are moving on down to the next point of narrowing down what we're going to talk about, because we never say no to the opportunity of a speech. That's the O. Any stats of what this could be?
Opportunity?
That's a good guess, but wrong. What?
Object.
Very close.
Objective,
yes. Objective. This third step in preparing a speech is to write a sentence that embodies the objective of your talk. And actually, the heart of your whole speech is in one thing, the objective. And actually, the thing you spend the most time on in every single one of your speeches is the objective statement. The objective statement is like a thesis statement of a paper. It's the heart of everything that you are trying to get at. And it is the thing that you spend the most amount of time on when you are preparing for your expos, for your illustrated oratory, for your persuasive, for your whatever speech, for your impromptu, for your apologetic speech, for your extemp speech, is getting this objective statement down pat. That's what you spend your prep time on to get done. And there's four steps to it. I'm going to give those four steps to you. First one is write a proposition. Let's try to... Who said the communication? Caleb, you said the communication, right? What... give a stab at a proposition for... Now you chose your subject, communication. You said maybe how to be a good communicator. I think that's what you said.
To communicate and affect people.
To affect people, okay. And then write a proposition for me, and then we're going to go from there.
That to communicate allows us to change lives.
Communicate, what's that?
Communication allows us to change lives.
Okay. I'm going to go, like every person can communicate to change lives. Okay?
I see.
That's a good proposition. Yeah. It's a really good proposition, actually. Every person can communicate to change lives. Now, you see how we just narrowed down communication, the idea of communicating to people, and then the objective statement we wrote down, every person can communicate to change lives. In your prep time, in a limited preparation speech, or when you're in school and you're working with your coach or with your parent and trying to figure out the topic of the speech and trying to formulate your thoughts and stuff, you have to be able to underline this statement before you walk into the room, before anything. You almost have to memorize this objective statement. So you write a proposition, and this is the process of figuring this out for yourself. You interrogate the proposition before you go and write the speech. You interrogate it yourself. And that's when you ask the question, how can I disagree with this? Every person can communicate to change lives. No, I fear getting up and speaking. I cannot do this. I cannot communicate. I struggle with my verbal communication. I get tongue-tied when I try to talk. You know, I can't do this. And okay, interrogate this proposition to the point of ad nauseum, so you always have a response to it. No, you can overcome that. Maybe with a story. I know people who go into speech and debate with speech impediments, and they win, and they won nationals before. With speech impediments. People who struggle with dyslexia end up writing champion speeches all the time. And dyslexia is a very common thing that people struggle with. And they overcome it and they do fight. So you see how we're interrogating the proposition and we're coming up with the excuse to go, no, every person can communicate to change lives. Because we know people who communicate and their own lives are changed. And what we're doing is we're writing responses. Write responses to your interrogations. I just did that. Now, this is the tough part. Choose a keyword. Every person can communicate to change lives. In that proposition, and we might go back and change the proposition if it doesn't really work. What is the key word in this statement? Could be a couple choices. What's the key word? Every person can communicate to change lives. How would that change the mood of the speech?
When we're talking about everyone, we're not talking about certain individuals who are gifted, people like us who compete in the areas of speech. Everyone, even the most common garbage man, anyone.
Awesome. Every person can communicate to change lives. Okay? What's another word in here that we could choose?
Communicate.
Communicate. Every person can communicate to change lives. We just emphasize that as our key word, and that becomes the emphasis of the speech. We're narrowing it down to that. Everyone can communicate. Go ahead and elaborate. How would you...
It goes back to the subject, you know, the whole point about it is communication, what we can do with that, who can do it, and how that affects society.
Mm-hmm. How it affects society. What would we do without communication? We can communicate. Okay? Keep going. Choose another one. Yeah.
Change.
Thank you so much. Every person can communicate to change lives. Elaborate.
Every person can communicate, but we're finding what the purpose of everyone being able to communicate is.
Yeah. The purpose of it is to change. You know how difficult change really is? Can any of us really say we've changed in some respect? It's tough. Change is difficult. Okay? But it can be done through communication that everyone can participate in. Can change lives. Okay, you get the idea. So write a proposition, interrogate that proposition, write responses, then choose a key word. In fact, that key word you will refer to throughout your speech. Oh, there are two kinds of objective statements, too, that I want to tell you about. There's two kinds, and I think you know this already. This is kind of elementary a bit. There is a persuasion and what's called enabling. Persuasion is persuasive, of course, and enabling is informational. Okay? And I don't even know why they call it enabling. I think informational sounds a lot more understandable, but they call it enabling. An informational speech. Now, this is where I kind of disagree with the SCORE method a little bit, because they talk about these two are the two kinds. Now, this is a controversial statement that I'm going to make. Okay? Rhetoricians disagree on this one, I guess. I don't believe in a thesis statement or an objective statement that is not at least a little bit persuasive. Because if it's not a little bit persuasive at least, you're giving me a boring subject. You've got to hook me. You've got to get me in there. You know, tell me something that's controversial. How many times does a persuasive speech that you would think there would be bias galore in the room and they end up winning nationals or regionals? You ever see that happen? I had one speech last year. He ended up winning nationals, but there was a judge who got up and left the room in the middle of one of his outrounds because he was offended. That's how controversial the speech was. Okay? And he won nationals. Wow. How do you do that? Well, he was passionate about it. And it was more than just informational. There was a persuasive element to it. Okay? So I would say, even your most mundane information, even if you're talking about something as boring as combustion engines, how can you make combustion engines persuasive? I did it a little bit ago. Remember when I was talking about the energy guy? How did I make combustion engines all of a sudden an interesting topic? We start talking about green energy. If we're actually going to make green energy available and useful, we got to get rid of the combustion engine. Boom. That's a persuasive... All of a sudden, I made that boring topic of mechanics, which, I don't know, might excite some of you, but it's informational. It's just informational. I made it interesting and made it into a speech. Okay? Oftentimes, I would say that does separate a speech that just isn't doing well in competition to a speech that could really do well and could take off. It's got to be a persuasive a little bit. It's got to be somehow persuasive. Most expository, illustrated oratory speeches are informational, right? You know, this is my display of such and such. You know, this is elk hunting in Colorado. You have to go to hunter safety and learn about a gun. You have to get your permit. You have to go get, you know, wear 500 square inches of orange. There was all these kind of informational things. But my daughter wrapped it up in a story of when she shot her 5x5 elk in the mountains of Colorado and just lit the whole room on fire. Okay? And she did, and this is what she had to do with those Californians. She did address the issue that people may have a bias against hunting. Okay? So she did address that. She goes, well, you know, you may think that, you know, hunters are just a bunch of shoot their guns in the air fools in the woods, but and then she talked about the importance of conservation, taking care of the environment, taking care of habitat, and all the values that real hunters believe in. She really elevated herself to be a very responsible conservationist. And she did. She even talked about, oh, this is a good topic. I'm just thinking of her speech. She even talked about how she never says, we are going to go and kill an animal. You know that? Hunters sometimes will say that, but that's really an incorrect way of saying it. She said, I'm going to harvest the animal. You apply for a tag, and it's land management, actually, is what hunting does. It manages the wildlife, or else cars start hitting deer all over the place, and elk would disrupt the habitat. So conservationists use hunting to manage the wildlife. Did you know that? It's quite interesting, isn't it? Very informational, but you can see how it's kind of persuading you against a bias that, who knows, some of the judges may have had a bias against hunting, and then Lydia persuaded them otherwise. Did you have a question, Caleb?
Yeah, I was just wondering, you said that the aim would be persuasive and enabling. Mm-hmm. Disagree a little bit. Is it because what you're saying is you believe that every even informed speech has to be persuasive?
I believe that because if it doesn't have a persuasive hook, I also call that a boring speech. It needs to be a bit persuasive. Even something like Boy Scouts could be a persuasive speech. There's controversy in the Boy Scouts. They stand outside of every Walmart and talk me into buying those popcorn. No, I'm just kidding. But you know, there's some things that you can talk about the importance of raising young boys. You know, that could be a controversial subject. And like a college professor will have to give informational speeches. I think a college professor who has to just pretty much transfer a bunch of information from his head to your head would make a speech much more interesting if he diced it up with a little bit of persuasion. Okay? If we have to go through Beowulf, let's do it with some persuasion, and that would dice things up. Okay, so subject, central theme, objective. And the objective is the heart of your narrowing down of whatever is being asked of you to speak. We're going to go to the first of two R's, is rationale. Step four in preparing a speech is to develop powerful rationale. The rationale should, without fail, lead the listener to the objective. Now, this is the thing that we're doing. We are actually now starting to broaden a bit. Now we're starting to branch out. Rationale is plural. It's usually two or three things you talk about within the context of your speech. And all leads back to the objective statement. Going back to my daughter Lydia, she chose to talk about what she needed to do to get her license, why it's a good thing for lots of people to get their license and go hunting, and then she told a story of how much she loves hunting. Those are three rationale. Combustion engines. Okay? It's interesting because to get, or it might be green energy now, green energy is needed, but is needed only when we get rid of the combustion engine. How do we get rid of the combustion engine? Those are three rationale. Okay. Boy Scouts. Give me three rationale to a Boy Scout objective. Actually, that's a very difficult thing to do because we didn't do this step, did we? We did not do this step. What was the objective statement? Did you write down that objective statement? What was the objective statement? Yeah, what was it?
Every person can communicate. Was that
the exact correct? Every person can communicate to change lives.
Thank you. Every person can communicate to change lives. Okay, give me three rationale.
Three rationale. All right. The importance of communication, actually.
Okay.
The way we can actually effectively communicate in the community.
Community? Okay. So let me write these down. What was the first one?
The importance.
Okay, keep going.
How?
Okay.
And the effects we have on the community.
Effects. Okay. Importance, how, and effects. Now this is where we need to be a little bit creative. The rationale, and in your impromptu speeches, this comes in really handy. I don't know if you spoke, and Travis, if I'm referring to something that you've already talked about, jump right in and say, hey, this is what I was talking about. Get creative in how you're going to organize these and make it work. Okay? The rationale are your guts of your speech, or it's your, not quite the guts yet, it's like the backbone of your speech. Boom, boom, boom. These 3 points, these 5 points, these 2 points, whatever they are. This is what your rationale are. And you can do it in memorable ways. Now, we talked about the importance, how, and effects. I'm going to try to be a little bit creative and say, I'm going to change how to content. What did I just do? I made an acronym. What's the acronym?
ICE.
Thank you. ICE. Learning how to change people's lives through communication can be as smooth as ice. Right?
Wow.
And I made that up on the spot, man. This is great. Okay? And then it's memorable. It gives me a rationale to believe in what's going to be persuasive, the central theme, and boom, I've got an acronym. And an acronym is a good way to, well, SCORE. SCORE is an acronym. It's spelled wrong, but it's still an acronym. Okay? And those things work. People remember it. Your judge remembers that. And they're able to go back and eat their cookies in their judge lounge and go, yeah, smooth as ice. And guess what they're writing on their ballot? Boy, that was smooth. A great way to remember it. What's up? What are other ways that people lay out the rationale to make it memorable?
One tactic I've seen a lot was past, present, future. That way they just
past, present, and future, yep.
They have that line of thought. Here's the past, here's the present, and the future. Easy to remember.
And what kind of speech does that go into?
A lot of the prompts I've seen in extemporaneous.
Extemp, especially, yeah. Yeah, like this is what the policy was. This is how it's unfolding now. And if we change it, this is what it would be in the future. Okay, very popular. Past, present, future. There's a thing called alliteration. I'm sure you know what that means. Right? What's alliteration?
Every word starts the same
way. Right. That happens a lot. Like, here's the three C's of something.
Seven C's of the Christian law.
The seven C's of the Christian walk. Okay, you've heard this, at. You've heard alliteration before. You've heard this before, yeah. So that's how you make a rationale memorable. And that's a technique that the SCORE method actually teaches you. So once you have your list, so you're in your impromptu prep time, you've got 2 minutes, and you read the question, and ice, yeah, I could do that. Okay, boom. And guess what that does for you? Guess what that does for you? Not just for the judge to remember, but who else in the room to remember?
You.
You to remember. And that's when you can drop your extemp card. Okay? That's when you can go cardless. Okay? You can remember these things because you've come up with a way to remember it, the rationale. Okay? In an easy to remember fashion. Now, for your resources. Somebody asks you to speak. You narrow it down, your subject, your central theme. You've got your objective statement memorized, your keyword there. You've got your three-point rationale, and now your resources. And that's spreading it out even more. This is your guts. Remember I said guts, and I said, no, that's not the word, because I was saving it for resources. The guts of your speech are your resources. What could they... Give me some... Give you an example of... it could be a story. Okay? A story. Let me tell you a story about my first point on ICE, which was... Information? Okay. Okay, the information of a speech or something. Okay, I'm going to give you a story. It could be... it could be a factoid, some facts that you want to. What statistics fall into place like this? Or if you're doing an extemp speech, these articles that are part of your research, these are your resources that you quote. Okay, and that fleshes out. You see how we're getting broader now? We're getting broader in our speech. Okay, now. I want to give this away to the person who can tell me what the E in SCORE stands for. Numerous different kinds of... Yeah?
Ending?
Ending? That's a very good guess, but it's wrong. yes?
Experience?
That's a very good guess, but no. Anybody else? Anybody? Anybody? Okay.
Ethics?
Ethics?
Yeah.
Ethics? No.
Effects?
No. Yeah.
Excellence?
No.
Eloquence?
No.
Explanation?
Yeah. No. Yeah.
Entertainment?
No.
Ending?
I think somebody else said, but yeah. No. Okay. Okay, I'm going to give some hints. Okay. Every speaker must get better. Yes?
Enunciation?
No. Yeah? Improve? No. Exposure? That's a good question. That's a good one, but no. They need to get better and better, and they have to keep working on their subject, their central theme. They have to keep thinking and meditating on their objective statement. They need to keep working on that rationale. They need to keep their... No, I want to tell you a little story. I'm going to call on you first, okay? But I'm going to tell you, I had the opportunity of working with Ken Davis. And I saw I've seen his show. He has a show called Fully Alive that's brand new, and he travels. He's hilarious. If you ever get a chance to see him live, he's just a gas. And one of his, and his speeches were all different. And he was constantly taking in how people responded. And he would change every single show. in a little way, something would change in there, just a little tweak. It's, I mean, he gets accused of being a perfectionist, but that's what a lot of entertainers are perfectionists. And it's because of this last step in the score method.
Expression?
No, that's a good guess, though. I think you had your hand up.
Expand?
No.
Emotion?
No.
Enthusiasm?
Oh. Okay, I'm going to give some more hints. Oh, one more?
Experience?
No.
Recycling ideas now.
Okay, I'm going to give you more hints. Do you have a...
Effects?
I think somebody else said that.
Empathy?
No. Okay, let me keep going. You're going to get this. Okay. What he does, and what Ken Davis does, and what every speaker should do is... look back, I'm going to call on you first, look back on previous speeches and change things up to make it better and better and better.
Experience?
No. Edit is closer.
Expound? Evaluation,
yes. You won the prize. Evaluation. Yeah, it makes sense, doesn't it? No. Evaluation. You are always asking yourself, is my objective crystal clear? Is my key word right on? Does my rationale fit my objective? Do my rationale lead to my objective? Are my resources the best and memorable and most punctual resources that follow up my rationale, that lead to my objective statement, that surround my central theme, and it's about my subject? You're always evaluating. You're constantly evaluating.